lawyer for 20th Century Fox. I said, I don't know about that. I only know I want to be wonderful. Because you say that to a corporation lawyer, he thinks you're mad. And that's at the bottom of everything, you know, that I do want. Well, you know, they ask you questions like, you know, well, just an example, what do you wear to bed? Do you wear a pajama top, the bottoms of the pajamas, or the nightgown, or what kind of... So I said, Chanel number 5, because it's the truth. And yet I don't want to say nude, you know, but it's the truth. Or, I don't know. All of those things come from the truth. If you ever get any of those things, you want to ask, what does it mean? I'll tell you where the truth comes from or what it does mean. Because I leave things out. I don't elaborate sometimes. But it'll be from the truth. Because otherwise, it's hard to know where to start if you don't start with the truth.
I change without a warning, I can switch from hot to cool. I'm faster than the reckless and I run on rocket fuel. No time to waste, there's much too much to see, to do, to know. No master plan, I jump right in, I start it up and go. Can't take the dull, the old routine, I don't like being bored. I use one foot for dancing and one foot out the door. I travel light upon the wind, live many lives in one. A jack of all the trades, that be a mastery of none. That's the way of a Gemini. 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 A Gemini. Never know with wind exactly which way it will blow. And so the same with twins, I never know which way I'll go. I'm always different people and I don't know who is who. I wish the real me would stand up and say, how do you do? One twin wants to plan the war and let the other march. One twin does the making love, the other likes to watch. There is nobody quite like me in any other sign. Cause being born a twin, it makes me two of a kind. That's the way of a Gemini. That's the way of a Gemini. That's the way of a Gemini. That's the way. Communication, I can talk to you all day. I'll tell you everything I think, then finish what you say. Can't play the game of love for real, I tend to fall behind. My feelings don't go all the way, I stop them with my mind. I was born wrapped up in riddles, tangled tales and secret schemes, with lots of twists and turns and roads of fantasies and dreams. I'll search the world for love of life with a passion driven wild, then circle back to things I knew when I was just a child. That's the way of a Gemini. That's the way of a Gemini. That's the way.
Doesn't it? Well, what do you think would be fun to do now?
I don't know. It's getting pretty late.
It's not that late.
The thing is, I had this big day tomorrow. I really have to get to sleep.
What's the big day tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm on television. You remember I told you about it? The Dazzled End Hour? Oh, here comes another one!
Bodies of children with their own guns, proud to be on video, young enough to feel like the skin grows back, yeah. And ghosts walk in the shadows of an obsolete scene. Plum straw, plum, light blue plum straw, plum. Ask for Colin and he'll. And time only comes around again at the end. And ghosts walk in the ambulations of dogs, bonbons, cinemas and matelots. Make your number seven walk the wrong way round, yeah. And they walk in the 21st century. And you are gonna get yourself together now, aren't you? Ocelots and meerkats, catchy looking stupid, but you just don't care. When your sights are on infinity, you don't fire blanks, no. I know you're a blonde sometimes.
you say. You want to be the prettiest, sunniest blonde in town? Well, of course you do. Well, you listen to this now.
Come to the sunshine. Throw some light in your hair. I swear it's the sunshine.
The sun did it.
It's the sunshine. You know they won't know it isn't the sun.
Say the sun did it, but it's really Summer Blonde, the gentle hair lightener. Just shampoo, it looks like the sun did it. Get Summer Blonde or new Summer Blonde Plus with its own conditioning rinse for extra body and shine.
Say the sun did it, don't let on that. It was really Summer Blonde. Light and such a tiny touch that you can always say.
The sun did it.
It's the sunshine.
The sun did it. That's the super cop-out. Mojave goes from 0 to 30 in 1.8 seconds, but the down payment remains at zeros. Can you dig it, huh? Well, you check it, and you can catch it at your nearest Montgomery Ward Auto Center, open every night until 9.
The real gun steel, 93KHJ.
Here is the most spectacular showcase of show ever filmed. The show that no one knows better than the mark of show.
Harlow. Snow falls into Jean Harlow's eye. She wipes it off, feeling faint. Her hair is a yellow connection in the reformatory schoolyard. Everyone calls her Blondie. She's pregnant, and I hate Clark Gable for being such a prick. 1933, I am dressed as a matron, full of comfort, when Blondie falls apart, missing her man. In a minute, my black uniform loses starch, ears start burning. I lay down the rules, I do her a favor, I smile, sometimes. I lock her up always. She decks a girl who gets smart, and I say, "Where'd you get such a great left, kid?" She says, "I got it." We become enemies, we become friends, we become enemies, we become friends. We become entries in the prison report. Like brilliant thighs in a jail cell. I take off my dress and think about her. We kiss, and she can't believe in her mouth. I say, "It's got to do with tenderness." And her hair grows long with red highlights, and I think of her as Jean, not Blondie. And realize I give up anything. She acts tough, but shatters in my arms. because she knows what a black dress is like.
The world called her Marilyn, as if it knew her well. And perhaps it did. Behind the grotesque sex goddess of the Hollywood glamour factory, the public recognized a more human figure. The game loser, trying to beat the odds. But the real Marilyn Monroe forever remained shadowy and elusive, even to Marilyn. Throughout her life, she pursued an endless search for a missing person, herself. This is the story of that search, the legend of Marilyn Monroe. Like an anonymous lover, the camera followed her everywhere, on her tours and journeys, her weddings and honeymoons, her interviews and publicity stunts. For Marilyn Monroe was an authentic star with her own bubbling, wide-eyed, innocent style, and above all, a magical inner radiance. She behaved like a star. There were the kisses blown to her fans. The public strut and wiggle. Behind the dazzle, the camera's pitiless curiosity also had exposed a face without makeup, a face haunted by private torment. Yet few suspected that her hidden wounds might be mortal. Then came that hushed morning with its gallery of newsmen waiting in the thin sunshine. The appearance of death, unbelievable as always. And the unanswerable question, why? I'm John Huston. By chance, I directed Marilyn Monroe's first major film, as well as her last. Marilyn had a strange, a startling impact on the world. Even today, across the headlines of far greater events, her gentle, haunted image continues to appear. At her death, the world had looked for villains. It found only the troubling truths that life can be unfair and cruel, that we see human despair too late, that courage is not always enough. If bravery is measured by the fear it must overcome, then Marilyn's courage was great indeed. She was swept by panics. Her life was a continuing crisis. It began in Los Angeles, and at once became a struggle for identity. Bits of her fragmented childhood now are scattered in the memory of obscure witnesses and in the public ledgers of heartbreak and human failure. Although she grew up as Norma Jean Baker, her mother's last name by an early broken marriage, the birth certificate carried the name of Mortensen. It was an invention. She was illegitimate. Della Monroe went berserk. Seldom alone, Norma Jean lived in a floating world of transitory relationships. Grown-ups appeared, disappeared. It was hard to know what was real at the edge of Norma Jean's world. But for a moment, life had held a glimmering promise. Paradise was lost. Gladys Baker vanished behind the dark barrier of mental illness. But Marilyn herself is only a shadowed memory.
I used to sit up in the window and cry because I'd look over and I'd see RKO and I knew my mother had worked there. She'd been a cutter there.
Norma Jean's world was drab and perplexing, but already across her daydreams glistened the fabled towers of Hollywood make-believe. Outwardly, she was learning to be what others wanted her to be. Her real life was spent in that inner world, where, as she said, you can make your own boundaries. Norma Jean Stringbean, here today, there tomorrow, always the outsider. Then suddenly, she was Norma Jean Stringbean no longer. Girls cast envious glances. Boys whistled.
Oh. Mom asked me if I would like to marry Norma Jean. I guess she thought this would be very enchanting. I thought it would be pretty enchanting myself. She was a good cook. And I recall that she always liked to mix carrots with peas because of the color. Not because she liked to eat them, but she just liked the color of them. They looked good on a plate. You know, I never knew Marilyn Monroe. I knew Norma Jean, Norma Jean Doherty, Norma Jean Baker. But Marilyn Monroe and Norma Jean were two different people. Norma Jean was my wife. Marilyn Monroe was a glamorous movie star. I don't know anything about her life. I never talked to her. I just didn't know her.
There, a flashbulb started the fairy tale. A swan among her plainer co-workers. Mrs. Emmeline Snively heads the Blue Book Model Agency, where Norma Jean underwent her first extensive alterations.
Magazine covers.
In 1946, her appearance on 5 magazine covers in a month led to a beginner's contract to 20th Century Fox. Reluctantly, she traded her name for a new one, Marilyn Monroe.
I didn't have an opportunity to do anything, actually, during the year that I was there at 20th Century Fox the first time, except one part in Scudder Who Scudder Hay, and I was cut out of it. And then they dropped me.
She was thought of as a joke by many people. And I think this hurt her very deeply because she was very serious.
This is Harry Lipton, Marilyn's first motion picture agent.
1:00 at night, I told Marilyn when Fox had dropped her option, and her immediate reaction was the world had crashed around her ears and unhappiness and tears. And then typical of Marilyn, she shook her head, set her jaw, and said, well, it really doesn't matter. After all, it's a case of supply and demand.
Undaunted, Marilyn made the rounds. Men about town whisked her from one nightclub to another. But Columbia dropped her. She bounced back in a one-joke walk-on in Love Happy with Groucho Marx. For the first time, she was the dumb blonde sex pot, a role she never again would really escape.
Is there anything I can do for you? What a ridiculous statement.
Mr. Grenyon, I want you to help me.
I have a little sand left. What seems to be the trouble?
Some men are following me.
Really? I can't understand why.
She's a blonde's blonde. I'm Angel's angel. She's a blonde's blonde. I'm a thinker's thinker. She's a blonde's blonde. I'm a liar's liar. She's a blonde's blonde. She's a blonde's blonde. I'm an angel's angel. She's a blonde's blonde. I'm a thinker's thinker. She's a blonde's blonde. I'm a liar's liar. She's a blonde's blonde. I'm a tender thinker. I put up a good fight. I'm a tender pretender. I got a second
here, I get up early in the morning. I jump into my clothes, get my belongings together, get in the car, and I have a driver. He brings me to the studio. Then I have somebody waiting here who makes my breakfast. Then they start with the hair and the makeup, and I eat while they're doing my hair. And then they leave it that way while the makeup man, he comes in, he does the makeup. And Then they comb out the hair later. And they put on the body makeup and then the clothes. I don't like to rush this process because I find if I rush, I'm very tired. By the time I have to do a scene, I'm all worn out from rushing through the hair and the makeup and the clothes. So I like to do it leisurely, like I like to dress when I go out in the evening. I love to dress leisurely. I like to soak in the tub, then leisurely. I like music. I think that we're rushing too much nowadays. That's why people get nervous. Well, I don't think I'm late all the time, but maybe it is because I can't go as fast as other people. You know, people that get in automobiles, they run into each other because they never stop. They're going like that. And I don't think that mankind, it's intended for them to go like that. They're not supposed to be like machines. And I think you get more done the other way, by doing it more sensibly, more leisurely.
Scrum. Oh. Go barefoot for 5 years.
He treated me as a human being, and he was
Nick. I want you to meet Adam.
Adam?
Well, Stephen, really. Stephen Burkett. You wanted to meet him, didn't you? Well, here he is. Here he is.
Well, now, so this is Adam.
Very pleased to meet you, Nick.
Well, sit down, Adam. Take a load off your feet.
Thank you. I really don't have much time. I'm making a report to the Geographic Society on the flora and fauna we found on the island.
Me?
Mm-hmm. I was very excited by the island's vegetation. I spent so much time on research, I wasn't very good company for your wife.
Oh, I'm sure she understood.
Eve said that there were some questions you wanted to ask me, Nick.
Oh, he has. Ask him anything. Ask him.
Let me see. Oh, what kind of an island was it?
I'd say it was an ordinary island, wouldn't you say?
Like the rest of them.
Small island?
Not small. Not large.
Medium.
Jungle?
Jungle.
You know, trees, vines?
Trees, yes.
No vines?
Yes, vines too.
Water?
Yes, all around.
That's one of the nicest things about Adam. He doesn't talk your ear off.
I suppose you lived in tree houses.
Huts. We lived in huts.
Separate huts.
Even during the rainy season?
When it rained, we would move on up into the trees.
Separate trees.
Anything else you want to ask?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I got a good, clear picture.
Well, then shall I be running along?
Oh, must you?
Well, the Geographic Society insists on punctuality.
Well, drop around again, Adam, and we'll talk about the flora and the fauna.
Thank you. So, goodbye, Eve.
Goodbye, Adam.
Watch it.
Satisfied?
Completely.
Aren't you ashamed of those suspicions you had about me?
You're a sensitive human being and treated me. Treated me as a sensitive. Also, I don't know
how to
describe
it. No, this is very difficult.
649.
Hey.
All right.
That model is exclusive with us. A genuine Bengal crocodile. That is the true saltwater crocodile. Found also in South China, Northern Australia, the Fiji Islands. There's also the freshwater crocodile found in Rhodesia and parts of North America, make inferior footwear. Inferior footwear is made from them. Crocodiles themselves do not make them.
Will you have lunch with me?
I bring my lunch to the store.
Oh, I'd be so grateful if you'd take it out. I guess my foot's grown.
Very few film fans remember a picture called A Ticket to Tomahawk. That was the beginning, 1950. In that year, she did three pictures. The other two were The Asphalt Jungle, a gangster film, and All About Eve, in which Betty Davis had the lead. The next 2 years were not distinguished for Marilyn Monroe, but in 1953 came Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and How to Marry a Millionaire. In the next years, fewer pictures, but better parts and greater success. 1954, There's No Business Like Show Business. 1955, The Seven-Year Itch. 1956, Bus Stop. 1957, The Prince and the Showgirl. Nothing in 1958. 1959, Some Like It Hot. 1960, Let's Make Love. And in 1961, The Misfits, which, by the way, was written by her husband, Mr. Miller, was not a success and, incidentally, divorce followed. All told, 23 pictures in 12 years, which grossed a grand total of $200 million. When a star can make that kind of money, she can make trouble, too. Jerry Wall, the producer, said of her, she is not malicious, she is not temperamental. She's a star, a self-illuminating body, an original, a legend. You hire a legend and it's going to cost you dough. But that charitable judgment was not always present. She was fired recently during the filming of Something's Got to Give. That's the picture that Frank McGee was speaking about with Richard Merriman. And 20th Century Fox sued her for $500,000, charging that her tardiness and absence from the set caused a $2 million loss. It may well be that this turn of events, this public rebuke, brought her to the state of mind which ended in the events of last Saturday night.
We'll be right back.
95. Guadalupe, 97. San Domingo, 99. Martinique, 105.
We're having a heat wave. A tropical heat wave. Temperature's rising. It isn't surprising. He said we can. Started this heat wave.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And in such a way that the customers say that I certainly can.
Don't worry, honey. You'll make it. You've got what it takes. And you know how to use it.
Get out. Get out of here.
I'll tell you what you are. You're nothing because you made yourself into nothing, you conceited little punk. I wouldn't care if I never saw you again.
Well, come on now, Pop. I heard there was a big crop of corn this year, but...
What?
Corn. H-A-M, corn.
They danced and sang and brought joy everywhere. But in the helter-skelter of backstage life, the everyday problems of a real world had to be faced.
It's just not right keeping them up all hours of the night like this. I want them to have an education, a real education.
And what complications.
Meanwhile, she was forced to take jobs on the edges of show business.
Right, lady. When I first asked her to do it, why, she turned me down.
She was forced to take jobs on the edges. She was forced to take jobs on the edges of show business.
Right, lady.
When I first asked her to do it, why, she turned me down. But after thinking it over for a few days, why, she came back and said, I would like to do it. I think it was partially a favor. I had done her a favor once before, and she really did need the money. This is a negative of the calendar of Marilyn that sold 8 million copies. It just happened to be a darn good shot, but I give all the credit to her. In 1949, Marilyn was still one step from oblivion. Then she played the kept girl in The Asphalt Jungle, a film that I directed. And a spark jumped between her and the audience. I remember she impressed me more off the screen than she did on. There was something touching and appealing about her. And this, of course, is what people finally saw on the screen. What moved them. Now, at quickening tempo, the noise began. The parades, the hoopla, the stunts. Fox rediscovered her, launched the star buildup. The body beautiful was on display. The dumb blonde. The viewers treated her as a freak, a backroom joke.
Just
Chesterfield is the first cigarette to offer smokers premium quality in both regular and king size. King size Chesterfield contains tobaccos of better quality and higher price than any other king size cigarette. Chesterfield is first to name all its ingredients, ingredients that make the best possible smoke. And Chesterfield gives you this scientific report. No adverse effects to the nose and throat of a group smoking only Chesterfields. So enjoy your smoking. Change to Chesterfield today. Much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste. You know, there's a familiar saying that goes, ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. But somehow, when you set the question to music, that's a chorus of another color, an all-time favorite. For instance, I love you. Well, I'll tell you no lie. How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky? How many times do I think of you? How many roses are sprinkled with dew? How far would I travel? Journey from here to the star, and if I ever lost you, how much would I cry? How deep is the ocean? Time on our Chesterfield calendar. Or I should say, Red Book time, because here in the studio with us tonight is the editor of that fine magazine to make some very special awards. So let me happily make way for Mr. Wade Nichols.
Thank you, Dean. For 14 years now, Red Book magazine has annually honored outstanding Hollywood personalities for their contributions to motion picture art. This year, reflecting our magazine's identification with the interests of young adults, we're unusually happy to make our Silver Cup Award to a group of the young people who brighten this industry's movie screens and its future. So, to the winners in five categories of talent, Red Book Magazine salutes the youth of Hollywood. You know, not every American family is blessed with a champion in the home. So, when we come across a family that's blessed with two, we've really hit the unusual. Here they are, the youthful stars of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Everything I Have Is Yours, elected by Redbook as the best young dance team, the mighty talented Mr. and Mrs. Marge and Gower Champion.
I hope we can always dance as brightly and happily as my heart is dancing now at receiving your award. How about you, Gower?
Well, all I can add, dear, is thank you. Thank you very much, Wade.
In the stage play, The Member of the Wedding, opened on Broadway, The critics unanimously hailed our next awardee as a great, new, and fresh dramatic star. Her performance in Columbia Pictures' version of this play has just won her a nomination for Hollywood's Academy Award as Best Actress. But much before that nomination, it was Red Book Magazine's pleasure to honor as the Best Young Actress the well-deserving Julie Harris. Julie is on tour, and she speaks to us from Cleveland.
I am deeply appreciative of this great honor, and I'd like you to know how disappointed I am that I cannot be with you tonight to accept in person the Red Book Award, which means so very much to me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
The foreign field of show business never yielded a lovelier, more charming, or able young star than the girl whom Red Book honors now. She scored a hit at first sight, and we're sure she'll score a good many more as the years go by. For Best Young Foreign Actress, here's lovely Leslie Carroll.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nichols. Thank you. You know, I've learned a lot of new words since I came to America, but I don't know how to say how happy I am about this honor. Thank you very much. Good night.
When it came to the category Best Young Box Office Personality, the winner was obvious. This young gal proved the box office bonanza to 20th Century Fox Studios. Yes, a mighty cute, golden, glittering, and glamorous a bonanza is Miss Marilyn Monroe.
Thank you, Wade. Appearing on the show tonight and getting this great honor, well, leaves me sort of breathless. Thanks a million.
What can I say about our next award winners? Webster, Funk and Wagnalls, and even the Greeks would be at a loss for words to describe their amazing and amusing antics. Here they are, the best young comedy team, north, south, east, and west, the Hal Wallace Paramount stars, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
All right, you say it, Jerry.
No, you say it, Dean.
I'll tell you what. We'll both say it. You ready?
Ready.
Mr. Nichols.
Mr.
Ladies
Nichols.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are very
and
proud
ladies,
tonight
and
to be
gentlemen,
able to receive this
we
wonderful
are very
award.
Proud tonight
and I must,
to
Jerry,
be able to receive
Jerry,
this wonderful
Jerry,
award.
Jerry!
What's the matter? Was I going too fast for your movie?
No, but seriously, Jerry and I are really proud to get this honor. Aren't we, Jerry?
We certainly are, Dino. Our most sincere thanks go to Mr. Nichols and Red Book Magazine. We also thank all the guests who appeared with us tonight. And as for Marilyn Monroe, thank you on behalf of Dean and myself for being a wonderful guest.
Friends, Jerry and I will be back next week. Don't wait till then to try our Chesterfield.
Chesterfield is the first cigarette with premium quality throughout, in both regular and king size. And Chesterfield is a cigarette that gives you scientific evidence of real smoking pleasure.
We know Chesterfields are best for us, folks. You try them. You'll find they're best for you.
So until next week, this is Dean Martin.
And this is Jerry Lewis saying good night, everybody.
God bless you.
You've just heard transcribed the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. Produced and directed by Dick Mack. Written by Arthur Phillips and Austin Taylor. With music prepared and conducted by Dick Stabile. And this is George Fenneman reminding you to listen to Chesterfield's award-winning show, Dragnet, Sunday night on this same NBC station.
Tonight, visit 79 Wistful Vista and Fibber McGee and Molly on NBC.
Thank you.
I'd like to present to you the Look Achievement Award as the most outstanding feminine newcomer of 1952.
Thank you, Lawrence.
And as best young box office personality, Miss Marilyn Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols.
Marilyn Monroe, the moviegoers of America voted you the most popular actress of the year. My congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Sims.
A showman's gimmick had turned a sidewalk into a pantheon of Hollywood's gods. Like the heroine of her own girlhood fantasy, Marilyn was accorded the immortality of Joe DiMaggio, baseball's retired Yankee clipper, who Marilyn would always call my slugger. DiMaggio wanted marriage. Waves of frenzied approval greeted her. It was, she said, like an embrace.
The highlight of my life was singing for the soldiers there. I stood out on an open stage and it was cold, but I swear I didn't feel a thing except good.
Lights of movie stardom would blank out the cozy, candlelit home-cooked dinners DiMaggio wanted. For Marilyn, it would be easier to please the crowd. Marilyn's silent childhood plea had been, look at me, see me, I'm a person. Now everyone could see her, four stories high. It was a different person.
Oh, I think it's terrific. Very nice, some girl.
I think it's very nice, but I'd rather it were me.
I said, what has Marilyn Monroe got that a million other women have and prefer not to show?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's pretty vulgar, if you ask me.
Joe DiMaggio, it was said, shared that opinion. Before the masked microphones and cameras of the press corps, hastily summoned to the DiMaggio lawn by the Fox publicity chiefs.
Miss Monroe will have nothing to say this morning.
We were shooting 7-year itch with Marilyn Monroe. And do you remember that famous shot? Do you remember the wind that is lifting her skirt?
Oh, do you feel the breeze from the subway? Isn't it delicious? Oh, here comes another one.
Well, we were all set up to shoot that thing, you know. There were 5 and ultimately 10,000 people. They were like... And look up Marilyn's skirt. And people were heckling from the sidelines. And people were running up for autographs. Joe DiMaggio, you know, he was watching it and he didn't like it very much.
And he beat up a little bit.
Huh.
Marilyn said that she screamed and yelled for us. But we couldn't hear through those thick walls, you know?
She emerged with a bit bruised and black eyes and things.
It was more on her shoulders.
Yeah.
But with a little makeup and everything, well, she went ahead with it.
Our marriage wasn't a happy one. It ended in 9 months, unfortunately. I don't know what else to say.
All I can say as her attorney is that this is what we would say with the conflict
of careers.
Joe moved out finally. Okay, Jerry.
How do you feel about coming back to Hollywood? Is it a happy time for you, or is it a place of
sadness? Yes, it is. It's a very happy time. I'm happy to be back to my hometown.
Yes.
Well, you're a happy girl now.
Ah.
Has been very, very close friend. And was friend to the end. She wanted to know a father so badly. I remember party and it's a game we're playing. Everybody said what they want most in the world.
Yes.
And she said what she wanted from last week, pick up her father's bar, happen, make lectures. And then she'll say, but how does it feel now to have daughter if you've neglected?
We all need to get out of childhood in one piece, that if nowhere along the line you get that sort of reinforcement that you are worthwhile, you're lovable, that there's something in you, that we're a good person, what you end up with is a sort of emptiness.
Men, eminent men, again, powerful and important, again and again. If there's any mystery about Munro's death, seemed to me to be central.
Father owned half the Republic Studios at one time. So I grew up with these people. But I think the greatest effect of that was Arthur Miller.
How long have you known Miss Monroe?
I met her a long time ago, but I hadn't seen her in years. But I think I've got the woman who is going to be my wife.
You mean Marilyn Monroe?
That's correct.
When are you planning to have some children?
Well, I'm not married yet, dear.
It's a rather personal question, but is there anything in particular about Mr. Bowen that attracted you?
Have you seen him?
Yes.
Yes. Miss Monroe, could you tell us what kind of a wedding you're going to have?
Very quiet, I hope.
Marilyn wrote on the back of one of the wedding photographs, "Hope, hope, hope."
Studio.
Hello, can I speak to Milton Green, please?
Speaking.
There was some photograph. I think it was a picture of her and Miller's father. And she said to me, this is my happiest period. And I asked her, why? And she showed me this picture and said I was pregnant then.
Yes, she was pregnant by Miller during Some Like It Hot.
If you watched her in the picture that I worked with her on called Some Like It Hot.
Right, one of my favorites.
She was so wonderful. She had a very naive quality about her, a very soft, gentle, gentle quality. And I, she wasn't happy many times, Mr. Summers. I remember.
I wonder if you're about to tell me about her problems with childbearing, and she did lose the baby. Seemed to me that the crises that are supposed to have occurred seem to have occurred because of her miscarriages. Am I on the wrong track with that?
Everything connects in a person's life, particularly hers, you know, and it's sad.
She was slightly discombobulated at all times. But by God, when you suffered through that thing, through the 30, 40, 50 takes sometimes, you had something there, you know, something absolutely unique that cannot be duplicated. I had no problem with Monroe. Monroe had problems with Monroe. She had problems with herself.